Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for tuning in to Belmont Buzz. I'm your local news bee and host, Joanna Juvelis. Today, we're going to talk about a new group that has formed in Belmont, a group of Belmont concerned residents, and it's called Citizens for a Fiscally Responsible Belmont. And I have three representatives of that group that we're going to be talking to today. I'm going to introduce them. I have Dawn McCarron, Allison Lank, and Marie Warner. Welcome all of you to Belmont Buzz.
Thank you.
Would each of you just like to introduce yourselves to our viewers? Just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Sure.
How long you've lived in Belmont and
Sure. So I'm Allison. I'm in Precinct 8, and I'm a third generation Belmontonian. So I really love this town and very committed to, contributing to the town and making it better. I'm a recently retired reading teacher, although I was called back to take on some more students. So it was a short-lived retirement. So now I have a bit more time to invest in the things that are important to me. I'm a member of the Belmont Historical Society, board member of the Belmont Historical Society, Belmont Land Trust, Belmont Dramatic Club. So I'm on several boards and I look forward to becoming even more involved in town.
Thank you, Allison. Dawn, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, my name is Dawn McCarron. I moved here to Belmont with my family in 1970. I went through the school system from junior high on and actually ended up purchasing my parents' home. So I've been a resident for 50 years and a homeowner for 30 years here in Belmont. And I'm a manufacturer's rep in the field of automation. I represent different products and companies that go into machines and help companies automate in the area. I work with some of our terrific local manufacturers, helping them save money, do things faster or less expensively. So I'm hoping some of those skills about improvement could translate to some of these town efforts that we have to do things faster, easier, or less expensively. I've spent a lot of time being involved with my industry associations, the International Society of Automation. So I've learned a lot of things about leadership and managing tight budgets and just accomplishing goals that are good for our group. So I've spent probably four decades working with those guys, and I'm looking forward to translating those skills to some efforts here. And our new group here seems to be working so far.
Thank you, Dawn. Marie, tell us about yourself.
Thank you, Joanna. I'm Marie Warner, and I have been a Belmont resident for 24 years, Belmont resident and homeowner for 24 years. I am also a manager at an educational technology company that helps teachers teach children to read. I have a special passion for small business and entrepreneurs, and I'm a founder and CEO of Boston Women Connect, which is a group that it meets in and around, now virtually, but in and around the Boston area with small businesses, professionals, and women entrepreneurs.
Thank you, Marie. Citizens for a Fiscally Responsible Belmont, otherwise known as CFRB. I actually found out about it through conversations with another Belmont resident. I know a lot of people have heard about it on Nextdoor, and the word is just quickly spreading. Would one of you like to give our viewers and listeners a little bit of background about CFRB? What is it all about? How did it come to be?
Well, thank you. for this opportunity. So Citizens for a Fiscally Responsible Belmont is a nonpartisan grassroots organization of concerned citizens whose aim is to work with town officials to increase accountability, responsibility, and transparency in all aspects of town government. And the group started when a friend and neighbor who was retired became concerned about the rising property taxes. And she's a retired forensic accountant. She completed a study just to sort of really try to put numbers on how the taxes have been increasing in town, which feel alarming to her and many others. And she was really shocked to discover that taxes are not property taxes are not figured out equitably in town, that the more expensive properties, 2 million or over, are actually taxed at an average of 71% of their sales value, while properties that are 1 million or less are taxed at an average of 117%. So that's a 45% difference. So this was really shocking to her and many others. And she then also did a study, this is exhaustive work. She did a study of four other surrounding towns and found that this was not the case, that their taxes were right about where they should be, either usually slightly lower than assessed value of the home when it was sold, but not this huge discrepancy. So we started posting on Nextdoor and she started sharing these findings. And it really just ties into so many other global issues in town of fiscal mismanagement. And we can talk more later about what we've already done to try to address some of these issues and what we hope to do in the future. But that's, I think it's important to understand that this is where the group started from, was around the inequitable tax issue. Mm-hmm. And then obviously this connects to many other issues in town related to fiscal responsibility. And that's how it's been expanding.
Right. So why don't one of you tell us what has your group been doing and about how many people do you think you have in your group now?
Well, we started out, we didn't have an agenda to be a vote no override or anything like that. We were just all in the same mindset that we were extremely frustrated with the tax increases, the frequency and the amount, and found that many people were in the same boat, that they just didn't know what to do about it, were very frustrated with it. And we said somebody should form a group to address this and help to bring down costs at issues that are out there and find ways to combat this. And why not us? Us group that had been working on the property inequities, we decided, let's do something informal and form a group. And that's when we all finally got together and said, what can we do for something like that? So we've grown quite a bit. I'd say we're in the hundreds, and without being specific, but with this last tax increase, the group roles have swelled considerably. This last tax bill that came through, yes. Some things we're doing, I'll just read them off. It's easier from a note.
Well, Don is looking for that. I think that as I view it, we have been informing the public through Nextdoor and through just our group getting bigger. We also have been fulfilling our part of our mission to collaborate with town officials and have done outreach and had some meetings with town officials that still continues, because we do want to be perceived as not just somebody saying this is wrong, but want to share in ideas for how to make things better within this town. And
right,
I feel we've made great advances in doing that.
Would you call yourself watchdogs?
That when you say how we operate and what we do, we feel like we can't just run around and complain and say, things are wrong or whatever. And so we felt like the things that we would need to do that are to establish some committees in each area of the town government and become experts on them, listen to all the town meetings, find out who the players are, and be more educated rather than just coming up with complaints, and then try to find areas where things could be done better or whatever. We're not experts. We have a lot of smart people in our group that have already done some looks at pensions and compensation things. And we plan to present these and collaborate with people and see if they're viable or not. But so that's what we're doing, establishing committees for many of the areas and get involved in several ways. Attend the public meetings, educate ourselves on the players, request documents such as a budget or the financial task force and become knowledgeable on them, understand them, and share our findings amongst ourselves and publicly. And to that end, as Maria was saying, we're going to use various social media, marketing communications, publications like the Belmont Buzz and the Herald,
Network
communications, Facebook pages in the works, maybe a website, ask questions and comments in the meetings, private message and exchanges with town officials, that's ongoing, public records requests to better understand areas that might be quite bloated for costing, and have CFRB members run for town meeting. That's
yes, all three of you are running for town meeting for the first time. I'm very excited for all of you. That's very exciting.
Thank you.
Hope you win. I think it's very important for me to bring this up. Today is January 22nd, 2021, and the select board this morning voted to put a $6.4 million override question on the town election ballot April 6th. That is a big headline for Belmont today. And I'm sure for all of you, it's really perhaps maybe going to change your mission in any way. Can you tell me how will this decision affect what you are all doing? Because I know that a lot of people during today's meeting, public comments were, please delay the override. Residents are suffering. Businesses are suffering. You know, just delay it. So why don't one of you talk about what's next for CFRB now that this decision has been made?
The delay question or the override question in general?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, John.
Allison, comment on the override, you know, what we think about it, and then
delay. What do you think about today's decision by the select board to put the override question on the ballot and not delay it?
Obviously, we're disappointed, but we're not surprised. And part of the delay, besides the fact that we're in a, you know, global pandemic at the moment and people are genuinely hurting. You heard a small business person speak today at the meeting about how this was potentially going to put him and other small business owners in Belmont literally like over the edge. So one main reason, though, is that we really have not seen significant evidence of structural reform. You know, 2 years ago was when the Connor Center, is that the name of it, said that Belmont was going to be going over a fiscal cliff in 2020 if significant structural reform wasn't made between 2018 and now. And here we are. And we really are not seeing strong evidence of, you know, have not seen for the past 2 years strong evidence of significant you know, structural changes going on. And this is another reason we're saying we need to really see this. I mean, now a really official structural change committee is forming. Interestingly enough, you know, it's not even going to, you know, meet or something until next month. You know, where was this for the past 2 years? And if you look at the members that are on it, there's, you know, it tends to be a lot of the same players that are in other committees and have even potentially been selectmen. And I can tell you somebody from our group advocated really strongly that she would be, you know, a really, you know, potentially valuable person to be on this committee. And she was, you know, turned down for somebody who I think had just moved here from Cambridge or something, or, you know, so it doesn't seem like it's really a genuine effort to actually even make these structural changes now. You know, we hope to look forward to the future, but so obviously we're disappointed, but we're not surprised.
If I can add, I think that while this is a, and it will be a big headline, is a big headline issue, it also speaks to really what our larger mission is. And that's, you know, the affordability, accountability, transparency, and sustainability in Belmont. And even, you know, the statement that median home, the taxes will increase by $896 in itself isn't fully transparent. because it will not, that doesn't include the 2.5, full 2.5%, which they have indicated that they will go for, which would bring the that bill up to over $1,200, and does not include whether impact that we have for property assessments, which have been increasing dramatically, particularly in the last 3 years. So certainly speaks to the transparency in many of our issues, as Allison said, not unexpected, and we'll hope to bring more information about what this actually means to the taxpayers,
So people can be clear on what they're voting for.
Because I only heard them say that if your house is assessed for $1.25 million, your taxes will go up an additional $896, but that's not the whole picture.
That is not the whole picture.
That's important for people to know.
And I think that if you take a look, what's particularly disappointing about that proposal is that not only does it not include any potential for structural reform, but there's never been any really concerted effort to say, where can we cut the spending and costs? It's the same budget, those 12.5 million line items. They say it's level, a level budget that adds over 40 employees to town or school payroll doesn't sound very level to me. And just really is, I think, the only go-to plan the town seems to have is to do overrides.
Yes, this number that they came up with, $6.4 million, as a result of the work by the Financial Task Force 2 committee. It was originally, I believe, in the fall, estimated to be 12, possibly up as much as 12 million. So they managed to cut it down to 6.4, and they're using free cash. And they say this will be good for 3 years only, possibly. And then there might be a need for another override, most likely, because Belmont has more expenses than revenue, right? But is there a better way? What do you think maybe could be done differently? Maybe.
Can I first?
Sure.
The issue from 12 million. Yes. In the fall, it was really shocking that 2 out of 3 of the selectmen initially voted to try to put a $12 million override on the ballot in November, considering that the state money that we would be getting and the free cash money, which we would be getting, had not been determined. And literally within a week, as Roy Epstein put it, you know, it changed again because we got the state money and it was more than expected. It's actually not really, I know it was always touted as great news. It's really not actually a great sign when there's a really high amount of free cash. You know, it's almost like if you're getting a lot back from your taxes, it probably means that somewhere you were paying too much or something was mishandled. And I know that we had to hire an outside person to actually help with our balancing the books around the same time frame. So something happened there. But the fact that 2 out of 3 selectmen were willing to go forward with a $12 million override at that time, so it would be on the November ballot, thank goodness that didn't happen, because an override is permanent as it compared to a temporary debt exclusion, which, getting back to Marie's transparency comments, 30 years, for any of us who are 60 years or older, 30 years is the rest of our lives. So calling it temporary, I think, is you know, fairly misleading. You know, obviously we'd rather have a $6 million override than a $12 million override, but this sort of cavalier attitude of, you know, and then in you know, another 3 years, maybe we'll have another $6 million one. I think, you know, it's just absolutely unsustainable. And the fact that they would still move forward with any override at this time in the middle of a pandemic when, you know, a lot of people have lost their jobs, a lot of businesses are hurting. You know, as one small business owner said, I can't afford $1 more, you know, much less $1,200 more, whatever it would be, you know, each quarter.
The consideration should have been primarily for the environment. And I think right now it's worse than it was in the fall when they determined to.
Yeah, it is.
What would the harm be in delaying it? Why do you think they wouldn't want to delay it?
Right now, the defaults on the taxes in town are 4.5 times what they were last year. And with the recent tax bill, those are going to go up significantly. This is before an override happens. And people need to get through the pandemic hardships of economics, the financial hardships, the physical hardships, people with illnesses, and the emotional illnesses to tack on a override at this time while we're in the throes of the pandemic still and people are in the process of defaulting on their loans is really rather cruel. Delaying this, the town will survive a delay. Families will not. Many families are on the edge right now. They needed to give them a chance to get through this time and not pile on. So that would a delay would have been probably a right thing to do given the circumstances right now.
Yeah, I think that as far as what could be done is, number one, it would be the effort was made to form a committee to look at structural reform. Let's see what that group comes up with for recommendations before you move ahead with an override of this fashion. Let's see where cuts can be made in spending. It's what we do with our budget. It's what companies do with budgets. Let's see where cuts can be made. So I would say cuts and reform first, then take a look at the budgets. And in addition to these saying it'll be good for 3 years only, they're saying they're promising us additional overrides, additional small overrides. Well, we've had, in the past 17 years, we have had 14 votes for overrides or debt exclusions. And in the past 10 years, 5. So every other year, we're being asked to do this. I mean, how much more frequently can this occur? We're going to be voting on something every year, which is to me evidence that this cannot be business as usual. We have to take a really strong look at how we keep this sustainable, affordable, and transparent for our citizens.
Okay. Well, back to CFRB a minute. Do you have members who are parents of children in schools? Because what I heard today during the meeting when the select board voted to put the override on the ballot, there were a lot of parents speaking in favor of the override, in favor of them putting this on the ballot question, because they are concerned about how, if an override isn't passed, how it will affect the schools.
Yeah, I can answer that. We actually do have parents that have contacted us and have said that they moved to Belmont only a few years ago because of the excellent schools. So evidently, just as a side note, evidently our supposed, low per pupil spending isn't negatively affecting the school. I know there was an article about that in the paper. And then was it Ralph Jones, I think, rebutted what was said. That do have parents with young children who are saying, I don't know if we can afford to stay here. So the answer is yes. And I feel that there's many examples where, we all want what's best. I mean, I'm a teacher, we all want what's best for children and families. But this idea that if you, don't support continually giving more money instead of looking, us continually paying more money instead of looking at, all the important ways that we should be improving things in town. It's just unsustainable for everybody. It's excessive for all families, not just, families with or without children, it's all families.
Well, as you know, there is a Yes for Belmont campaign that filed papers with the town clerk on January 11th. Do you plan or know of plans for a no campaign, a no override?
Well, obviously, we talked about it as a group. We were kind of unrealistically hoping that this morning there might be a reprieve for a little while on that. But of course, that now it's going to be on the ballot. So at this point, what we'll probably do is convene this weekend and come up with approval by the majority that we do want to consider running as a opposition group. Details need to be discussed, but we don't have group sign in on it yet. So that will be something we're going to look to do shortly. I don't know of other groups in Belmont that are planning to do anything. Those are things we'll find out too. And certainly I think with this coming aboard, we'll get a lot more response from people They can reach out at cfrb@earthlink.net, if that's okay to say.
Yes, I was going to ask you, how can people find out more about CFRB and join your group?
So that would that's our current email address, and we'll be putting up a Facebook page and things like that. So those will, but those are things we need to discuss. CFRB is going to be an ongoing, continuing thing. It's not just a group for overrides. We feel like that a group needs to be watching what's going on and being aware of everything on an ongoing basis and in multiple areas. We have enough people, plenty of people, that we can set up multiple committees in all different areas to be monitoring and educating and sharing the information we find, possibly coming up with some recommendations and collaborating with town officials. So this is an ongoing thing. Of course, I would imagine we'd be all hands on deck for an override issue, but we think just the structure will make it an ongoing effort.
So, Marie, can you just tell everybody again how they can join the group? And once you join, what happens? Do I get am I on a group email? Like, what happens?
Yeah. So again, to get direct information, our email is cfrb@earthlink.net. You can also follow and join our group on Nextdoor if you are on Nextdoor, also like named Citizens for a Fiscally Responsible Belmont, and watch for an announcement of the new Facebook page. So any one of those ways, or contacting us as we're out on the campaign trail, we'd be happy to connect you with how to get involved. That will put you on the email list. We'll be looking for people to serve on some of the committees that Don mentioned. So there's all sorts of different ways to become involved, and we hope to be a catalyst for that.
Right now, we're using email to the group as a primary communications tool about what our plans are and what we need help with, what kinds of things we're working on. I suspect that we'll get to more of a website or Facebook entity once those are formed and we share what our activities are at the moment. That would be how we're communicating with people right now.
So just back to today's talk at the select board meeting, Roy Epstein was explaining why this was necessary at this time, and the two driving forces being growing enrollment and pension liability. So those are two things that I guess really can't change. And that's why the town has all these expenses. I mean, do you see any way to get more revenue in the town, or like, do you have any suggestions for how the town can cut back? I mean, you all have a history with the town. I'm sure things were different. I don't know if there was so much talk of override and deficits when you were, you know, in your younger years. What changed?
In most of the people, taxes were just rising so fast. Shockingly, the mindset was like, you know, I feel like I want to do something about it. And that's, our group is a perfect channel for them to come through. I think it was something that we all decided that it was a place that people wanted to be and find an effort to do something about it. What we can do for revenues, I don't know. Those are the kinds of things we want to be involved with the right committees and encouraging them to develop these revenue sources. It's we're certainly not educated on all of that just as of yet, but it's certainly something we'll be involved with.
I do think that, you know, certainly if you take a look at revenue streams and perhaps that committee coming up with ways to encourage more business development, being creative about what they perceive to be available land for development of that, I think is something that people needs to be looked at closely. I think that right now we could take immediate action by doing some reasonable examination of making some hard decisions on what can we cut, what can we delay spending on. And unfortunately, I do not see that effort ongoing now. And that is what I think could happen, what I wish would happen before they put this up for voters.
Yeah. What about the argument that if an override doesn't pass, your real estate value will go down? What do you say about that?
If you look at every override vote that they've tried to pass in the past 20 years, that same, and some did and some didn't pass, and that same argument was made. The, Chicken Little, Sky's Fine, overrides will pass, the children will starve, that all of those things. I will tell you, though, that whether it's anecdotal or not, that the high tax rate in Belmont is going to erode overall property value, what you can get for your home, if not outright discourage people from moving into the town. So it's a balance. It's a fact that from the Department of Revenue that taxes, the percent of tax as average income in this town exceeds neighboring towns that we've been compared to for the past 2 years. That's before this override. It's not a list you want to be on the top of.
I was just going to say, we're number one now. That's a dubious honor.
With this override, we will be number one in the state. Yep.
What about the fact that the town is building this very large middle and high school, and you know there's going to be operating expenses for that, and that's probably the other reason the town needs more money to pay for the operating costs of this new facility. What do you say about that?
Well, I think that it shows, frankly, a lack of transparency. I don't think that all of those costs were considered or reviewed or revealed before the vote in 2018 on building what is, as I recall, the most expensive construction, the high school in the United States. Again, a list I wasn't happy to be on the top of. So that's part of transparency is part of the issue. Was concerned to hear that, in fact, maybe not all the students enrolled have been even Belmont, children of Belmont residents.
Really?
Yes. So
how did you learn that?
That was in the last one of the town meetings. The select board, the Jen Phelan was at select board joint town meeting, and he confirmed that, yes, they've done attempts to tighten up on that. However, if you're in school already, you don't need to register. So I don't know if it still exists for anybody who's just not coming into the town. But in the past, they didn't check to verify that someone enrolling was a Belmont resident.
And I think related to the enrollment too, I think there's some fuzzy numbers there as well, that it's, you know, being touted that, oh, the numbers are getting bigger and everything. But then you look at other charts and it seems like actually they're not, that they're stagnant or getting smaller. And you could say part of that's due to COVID, but, you know, I worry we're going to have this, you know, some people have referred to as this Taj Mahal, you know, 7-12 school. And I'm worried you're going to have kids rattling around in there without it being full. And, you know, a lot of us feel like it's not really the building. I mean, obviously we want it to be safe and healthy. We don't want mold or leaking, but you can fix mold and leaking. You know, it's really the teachers and the support of families that these children come from. This is a lot of what makes Belmont the great school system. It doesn't have to be a super fancy building. And we've actually advocated for trying to cut back. This is another, you know, potential cost savings, structural change, to try to cut back on the phase two, which isn't supposed to start till next summer. And basically we were just told, oh, you know, that ship has sailed. That's not a possibility. And just getting back to the override going from like 12 million down to 6, I just want to say more could be taken from free cash, but the town is going by, you know, the guidelines from the Connor Center, because, you know, according to them, if we did take more from the free cash and maybe potentially not even need an override, our AAA rating would be affected. And I think a lot of the decisions that are made in this town are to keep our AAA rating. So if there's any talk of, you know, if the override doesn't pass, we're going to somehow, it's going to be threatened, or, you know, if the school wasn't built with absolutely all of phase two, somehow, you know, our AAA rating would be threatened, you know, I think is disingenuous. And it's not fair. It puts all the burden on the taxpayer.
Do you think the town is turning a deaf ear on the concerns of people involved with CFRB? Do you think they're listening? Do you think they're hearing everything that you've been trying to tell them over the past few months to get them to delay or not do this override?
I think that strong forces in town that have generally prevailed. And I think that they're getting extreme pressure from those stronger forces in town that, a popular blogger in town, said immediately, months ago said, referred to us as never taxers, which is like, what is he saying? And in a way you could look at it like, there may be people in town who are just, absolutely, add on more taxes, we can afford it, it's all for the kids. Like there's a lot of buzzwords, no pun intended, that buzzwords and phrases that go along with that too. And I think that's a lot of it's a scare tactic of parents. Obviously we all want what's best for the children of Belmont, but I think it's, let's see exactly what would be the effects. And that needs to be done before the vote of the override and exactly how much it would be for. Because it was not accurate the last time.
There needs to be taxes. We support our students, our teachers, our schools. We just want to make sure that the taxpayer dollars are spent effectively and efficiently. And in these difficult times where money's hard to come by, everybody is doing more with less. And we would like to see that reflected too in some of the school and education departments that sometimes you have to do more with less and not everybody can have everything at that time.
And one of our members, I'd be happy to share it with you, Joanna, if she's willing for me to share it with you, I'm sure she would be. One of our members who really wanted to be on the structural change committee actually has written a 2-page document with some serious structural change that the town could consider that would be dramatic and would make some positive changes.
Tell her to share it with the Citizen Herald. I think we're going to be wrapping it up. I want to thank all of you for coming on Belmont Buzz and telling us more about Citizens for a Fiscally Responsible Belmont. Anyone interested in learning more should email cfrb@earthlink.com.
.net.
And you can also go on Nextdoor and look up Citizens for a Fiscally Responsible Belmont. There will be a lot more on this group coming up, a lot more on the override. So stay tuned. And again, thank you for tuning in. I'll buzz off for now.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.